laid on your heart, Brother Patterson.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I tell you, it's been a good day, man. I slept until 5:30 this afternoon, you know. I have my alarm set and I go off and I reach over and hit the snooze, you know. I sit in my chair, then alarm will go off again, I reach over and hit my snooze, and I get 9 more minutes. 9 minute snooze, you know. Reach over, hit my snooze. I did it for an hour and I finally decided to get up, amen. So I was out pretty hard in that chair. Book of Daniel chapter 3 with me this evening, please. Daniel in chapter 3. Preacher, I tell you, last year, I don't know what happened at the beginning of this year with my notes, but I lost everything. I keep track of everything I preach everywhere, so I can go all the way back. The first time I was here was in 2004, Pastor, and I go back to 2004 and tell you everything I preached here in 2004 and what day I preached it on. But I lost everything from every church for 2019. I have no idea what happened to it. Can't find it, can't get it. No matter what I do, it's nowhere. You know, even recovering files, I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared, amen. So if you get a repeat, you just need it. Hallelujah, amen. That's all I can say. Book of...
Yeah, but he's got a new Bible.
Oh, well, there you go. That ain't gonna matter anyway. I'm gonna preach it out now. Amen. So, yeah. We had a lady in our home church, and her name was Jerry, Geraldine, but she went by Jerry, you know, and she's a sweet lady. And she had a Bible, and everything I ever preached, she would write my name by the text. And so I got some message where I got 2 or 3 messages out of the same text, you know, different thoughts, different message, and she would write in there, if you preached it one time, it was in there. If you preached the second time, you preached that before, buddy, you know. I said, Jerry, different text. I don't care. You were there before, you know. All right. Well, I enjoyed this time because it's not the same, you know. So we used to pick on each other back and forth. Loved her to death. She passed away this year. She's the same age as my mother, 95 years old. And she passed away back in May, or back in the summer, right after her 95th birthday. My mom's still alive. She's still kicking. She's in a nursing home right now in a rehab. I don't know if she'll get out. She's not doing well. But, you know, praise the Lord for a mother that's been alive that many years. I just stopped to visit with her. They let us visit her in a nursing home. A nursing home, they're very strict. And this nursing home, they don't pass her. They have not had one case of COVID with the staff or with the patients in this nursing home. And I can see why, the way they make a visit with them, amen. But it was good. We got to visit with her, you know, my brother and I. Well, Daniel chapter 3 this evening, if I haven't already told you that, that's where we're going to go, in the book of Daniel, in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. And before you stand up, you know, Daniel, everybody knows about Daniel chapter 3 is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Radio Shack, amen, Abednego, and Abednego. And so as we look at this thought, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had set up this statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and then he made all the people worship this image. Now, I have a feeling, Pastor, maybe this image was an image of him. I don't know. I don't think it says anywhere in the Scripture, does it, that I've ever picked up on, where it was an image of him. But it was an image that they had to fall down, and every time they heard a certain type of music, of a psaltery, sackbuck, and dulcimer, and other things, it says, that they would have to fall down and worship this image. Everybody who was ever in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom, would have to worship this image. Now, if we come down here, and he already said here in the first few verses of this chapter that if they fall not down and worship this image, then they will be cast the same hour into the burning fiery furnace. So if we come down with me, if you would, down to verse 8. Now, after the first time, when this is the first time they were to worship this image, watch what happens, verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbuck, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falls not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now let's leave off there praying, and we'll come back to it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to gather again here tonight. We thank you for Dalton salvation this morning, Father. Thank you for loving us so much that you would even let Christ die for us, Father, and then save us on top of that, Father, and then give us a home in heaven forever, Lord, and change our lives. God, you're so good. We thank you so much, Father, for who you are and what you've done. Help us tonight, Father, to receive from your word again that which would help us. If there's anyone here tonight that's not sure of salvation, speak to that heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As I begin here this evening, I want to speak a message that I've entitled Stand Up, Stand Fast, and Stand Out. Stand up, stand fast, and stand out. As we look here in this text again, beginning here where it gives us the scenario of this, it goes on to verse 13, 14, and 15. Then I'm going to come back and make a few statements. Then Nebuchadnezzar, after he heard this, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now let me say something. There's somebody I've heard many times, in Sunday school class, they preach about these three young Hebrew men, these teenagers. These were not teenagers at this time. These fellows were trained by Nebuchadnezzar, by his court, to take over provinces in Babylon. I don't know how old they were. I don't think I've ever read anything in the scripture that says how old they were, but they were not children. They were not teenagers. These were full-grown men. They had moved forward in their life, and now they have a responsibility. Nebuchadnezzar liked them so much, he says, you're in charge of this province, you're in charge of this province, and you're in charge of this province. And he gave them places to be in charge of in Babylon. That was quite a responsibility, amen. But the Bible says they did not bow the knee to this image like the other people did. And I'm sure that maybe, Pastor, there were some other Jewish people who did not bow the knee to this image. We know Daniel did not bow the knee to this image. But at this moment, he was not out in public eye like these three were. They were standing around. They were out in the public this day. And they were looked at. And they probably hung around together quite a bit, being all three Jews, but being all three friends, being all three growing up together, you know. And so they're probably standing in one spot, and then this music begins to play, and they don't bow the knee. They stood up. They did not give in. They did not listen to what the government had to say. They did not listen to what the government had to say. They listened to what was right. Amen. They did not obey what the order was. Why? Because it would cause them to go against the very word and teaching of God. It would cause them to go against the Ten Commandments. And they knew that thou shalt have no other gods before me. They knew thou shalt have the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. They knew that they had to do something specific that would not violate their right as a believer, someone who believed in the Holy God, someone who was of their nation. So they stood up. They did not give in. They did not quit. Then Nebuchadnezzar again in 13 said in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar saith unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And then there's a comma. I'm going to leave off right there, and I'm going to pick up on this in a minute. Can I tell you this? Nebuchadnezzar knew. He knew that it was true. He knew who these three were. He knew where they came from. He knew what they believed. He'd already been in contact with Daniel. Amen. Daniel wasn't no dummy, and Nebuchadnezzar wasn't either. He knew. I think he already knew that they would not bow the knee to this image. Maybe he was hoping they would lie and pretend to bow the knee. I don't know. But it says, do not ye serve my gods. He knew that answer. Nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and dulcimer, and psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, otherwise I'll let you off the hook. Now, he already said the same hour they'd be cast into burning fire first, but he likes these guys. He doesn't hate them. And I'm going to give you a chance. If you tell me that you'll worship this image, it'll be all right. And then he says, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Look with me in Psalm chapter 94. We're going to come back here in a minute. We need to stand up as believers today, amen, and not be afraid to stand up as the children of God. Psalm in chapter 94 in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 94. Over in Psalms in chapter 94, I'm going to look at three verses with you, verse 16 through verse 18. The Bible says this: who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Question. Good question, amen. Who will? Who will today? Who will rise up against the evildoers? Who will stand up? Who will take a stand today and speak out against wickedness and ungodliness and impurity and this total godlessness in this country? Or any country? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who will stand up against those who are doing wrong and teaching wrong? And what we need people to stand today. He said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Without the help of God, I would not have said anything. That's what he's saying. Without God's help, I would almost dwelt in silence. By the way, without God's help, I would dwell in silence, preacher. Without the Holy Spirit of God's direction, I would not say anything. And by the way, can I tell you, if you get away from the Word of God, get away from the house of God, get away from the preaching of God's Word, get away from the reading of God's Word, get away from the teaching of God's Word, get away from the study of God's Word, you know what you do? You'll dwell in silence. God's Word helps you become strong. God's Word helps you to become what you ought to become as a born-again believer saved by the very grace of God. In verse 16, David says, when I said, although he's calling upon the Lord, I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. When I said, my foot slippeth, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Lord, I can't take this by myself. Lord, I can't handle this by myself. God, I can't stand alone. And he said, oh, Lord, he says, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. That's the mercy of God. What a great God we have, amen. To give us strength in our time of need, to give us strength when we need to stand as a children of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 with me. The book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Over there in the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and all the ones between and are after and before, amen. But those books, tremendous books. Brother, I encourage you to read, now that you're born again, saved, read the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Those four books will teach you how to live as a born-again believer. John and Romans is great, and we need it, amen. It gets us settled in doctrine, gets us settled in who Jesus was. But boy, these four books will help you learn how to live and walk as a born-again believer. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 6, he makes a statement. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now watch, in the evil day. Boys, is there ever an evil day? But today, amen, is an evil day. It's going to get worse before it gets better, I believe. It'll get worse. Jesus coming back, that's really going to get worse, amen. But when he comes back, I'm going to go with him. I don't know about you, but I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Armor of God. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now watch, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and then having done all to stand. Have you done all to stand? He says, well, in order to do all to stand, you need to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's a living a holy life, a true life, a pure life. And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not violence, not running to violence, but running with the gospel to give people the truth. And being kind and gentle. And that's hard for me, Pastor, sometimes. He says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he says that the shield of faith, that's the word of God. He said to take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says this also, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We leave that one off, amen, sometimes. I believe that's part of the armor of God. So have you done, he said, doing all to stand. Have you done all to stand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had done all to stand. They stood firm. They stood because of what they believed and knew it was true and it was right. And we need to do everything we can to stand. We need to get into the Word of God and find out what it means to live the Christian life and then live the Christian life. It's just that simple. No, it ain't, Brother Mike. Yes, it is. It's how simple it is. It's very simple, and we just need to apply it and do it and act out the very Word of God as the children of God. Now look back in the book of Daniel in chapter 3 with me. Daniel in chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, there's a couple of things I want to consider here real quick. But not only do we have to stand up, but look at Daniel chapter 3. Look at verse 12 as we pick up again at verse 12 where it says, verse 16. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, he just asked them, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? In verse 15. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What that means is we don't have to think about our answer. That's what he's saying. We don't have to think. We don't have to think about what we're going to say. We already know our answer. Amen? So we don't have to consider. It's not like, Shadrach, what do you think we ought to tell him? And Meshach, what do you think we ought to say? Or Abednego, what do you think we ought to do? Meshach, what do you think we ought to do? No. There's no question to what their answer is going to be. And by the way, they all had the same mind of answer. So it wasn't like they had to discuss what was going to be said. They already knew what they were going to do. They knew, and I don't think there was some lengthy conversation going on between them, Pastor, before they ever got arrested, before they got took before the king, before the king says, bring them in. I think their mind was already set. That's why they did not bow the knee to the image to start with. These are men of God, loved children of God. They love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And according to the book of Luke or Mark, he says strength along with that. So here they stood. They stood, not just stood up, but they stood fast. Because watch what he says. He said, if it be so, our God whom we serve, verse 17, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. God is able to deliver us. And then they dig a little bit deeper. They say, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. God's going to deliver us. But then watch what they say. And this is not a doubt. I'll explain it to you in a minute. This is not a doubt that they come up with. Because some say, well, now they're doubting. But if not. No. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here's what it is. God is either going to deliver us from death or by death. But either way, it's not in your hands. You can do what you want. God's going to do what he wants. And you can't overrule God. God's going to overrule you. One way or the other, it's God's choice. If God takes our life in the fire, then so be it. If God decides to spare us from the fiery furnace, so be it. You ain't got no choice in the matter. I love it. Amen. So they didn't just stand up. They stood fast. They held their ground. No matter what was happening, they held their ground and didn't give in to the pressure of those who were around them. Amen. Hey, I'm not preaching about civil disobedience, Pastor. I mean, I believe we need to be civilly correct. And if I'm going to disobey, it's going to be because they have denied my right to worship the Lord God as a born-again believer, or trying to cause me to do some wicked, ungodly, impure sin that would turn others against. No, I'm not going to do that. But I will obey the law, amen. But these men were not going to do something that drew them away from a holy God. We need to stand up, amen. We need to stand fast as the children of God, as believers in Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians with me in chapter 1 in your Bible. You were just over there close to it when you were in Ephesians. But Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. Look with me down one verse here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He says this, we need to stand fast. Now watch, not just stand up, but stand fast. Only let your conversation, verse 27, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of, for the faith of the gospel. That ye stand fast in one spirit. We need to stand fast in unity today as a church. I know a church right now I'm going to be with, Pastor, in about 4 weeks. That's struggling right now because there's disunity in this church over this COVID thing right now. And, well, I tell you, there's a guy in his church that's giving him a hard time. If you have a church preacher and somebody dies, it's on you and not the rest of us, screaming at the pastor in the service. Shame on him, amen. You got something to say to the preacher, call him alongside and talk to the preacher. Don't ever scream at a preacher in the middle of a service or after a service or a business meeting. Shame on him, amen. Well, I tell you, their force of God just go bang, you're done, and take them out of here. And that maybe that should happen today, like it did Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, and maybe we'd some people would just straighten up their lives, amen. Wouldn't that be good, amen? Well, I'm glad I'm not God, because I would have killed me years ago, amen. But we need to stand fast in unity. Boy, get behind the preacher, get behind the church, amen. And go in the right direction, the same direction. Look at Galatians chapter 5, just a few pages back. You're in Philippians. Just go back through Ephesians and then Galatians backwards. And you're going to run into about 4 or 5 pages. You run into Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5 with me. Look down to verse 1. He says, stand fast. Look, we see stand fast in unity. But here he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We don't have to live in bondage, Pastor. We don't have to live. Listen, before I was saved, I was a druggie. Before I was saved, I was a drunk. Before I was saved, I was a thief. I don't want to go back to that stuff. I've been set free from it, amen. He said, now, if I could do anything after I'm saved than I did before I was saved, and if I did, shame on me. But I could go backwards to that, Pastor, and he said, you're going to entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage. And the Bible teaches us this, that a man who goes back and not forward will be worse going back than he was when he was going forward, amen. Than he was before he got saved. I don't want that, amen. I want to do right. I want to stand up. I want to stand fast as a child of God. And he says, stand fast in liberty. What have I been liberated from? I've been liberated from eternal damnation. I've been liberated from the bondage of sin. I've been liberated from the chains of sin. I've been liberated to serve the Savior, amen. I'm not chained to the Savior. He loves me. He's my Heavenly Father, amen. Jesus Christ, I can come to Him and cry, I have a Father to God. My that personal relationship that I have with God now. Why would I want to go back to anything that I was before I was saved? There's nothing to go back to, amen. I say 46 years or more, I'm glad I'm born again and saved by the very grace of God, amen. Well, we need to stand fast in unity. We need to stand fast in liberty. Then look at 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians, a few more pages back. Well, probably a few pages back, maybe, you know, but from the 1 Corinthians, maybe 15 pages. And look down 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Remember 1 Corinthians, the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. And look with me, if you would, down to verse 13. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now that word, quit you like men, that word quits is an old English term, amen. And it means be like, be strong like men. Take a stand as a child of God. So he said, quit you. Be men. Be like men. You know, there's a time in the history of our country where men were the epitome of strength. And we don't see that much anymore. We see men, well, I'll be careful what I say, amen. We see men that are limp-wristed today and no backbone, amen. I mean, men that are men, but they're not. They don't act like men anymore. You know, they're a bunch of wimps. You know, we need to be strong as men. And listen, that doesn't leave you ladies off the hook, because he's talking to you too. He said, "Quit you like men. Be strong. That's what he means. Be strong. Stand strong. Stand up. Stand fast. Don't give in. Don't quit. Go forward." Amen. That's what he wants us to do as the children of God. Stand up. Stand in unity. Stand in liberty. Stand in faith. In faith as a believer in Jesus Christ. That thought, stand fast, there is to stand firm. To stand firm. It means to persist. It means to keep one's standing. Now, preacher, you were in the, anybody else in here was in the military at all? All right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you ever know anybody in the military that got busted back from where they were at? They got busted back. You know what? Let's say if a sergeant got busted back. You didn't call him sir anyway. At least you weren't supposed to. Amen. Let's say a sergeant got busted back, preacher, you know. I know you were in the Air Force. You know. I have a friend last week. He was in the Navy. I said, yeah. I said, he couldn't make it as a Marine, so he joined the Navy. Just kidding. Amen. Just kidding. So he said, so somebody who gets busted back, guess what? You don't see him the same as you did after he busted back. Why? Why? Because here he was. He lost his standing. That's why it's so important for a born-again believer to stand up and to stand fast. Don't get busted back, amen. And the devil's going to do everything he can. He will do everything he can to stop you from going forward, to make you stay right where you're at, and then to go backwards and not do anything. I've seen it so many times, preacher. I've seen it with preachers. I've seen it with individuals. Well, God doesn't want that, amen. He wants us to stand up, and he wants us to stand fast. Go back to your text with me. Go back to the text, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Now look, the Bible says again in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, nobody likes to be told no. Amen. No, do they? No, there's not one of us in this room that like to be told no. You get my mind, you know, make your mind up about something and have somebody tell you, from children all the way up through our adulthood, we don't want to hear no. You know, well, just tell me no, I'm going to do it anyway. How many of you were like that when you were kids, amen? We were all like that, you know, probably when we were children. I'm going to do it. You go ahead. It's like, hey, go to your room and stay on that bed and don't get up. You go up to the room, you shut the door and sit on that bed, and it's like this. I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Right? That's how we all were. Well, we need to. So here in Nebuchadnezzar, they tell him no. And then it says in verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Seven times hotter than it needed to be heated. He said, heat that thing up, man. Make it super hot, extra hot, hot, hot. A possibility, Pastor, and I don't know, I've never read anything on this because I've never really studied the thought out here, but possibility this is the same furnace that image was cast in, because it's big enough for them to be up, stand up in, and walk around in. You know, possibility could be the same furnace. I don't know, but that's my mindset. That's what I'm thinking. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. We ain't gonna give a rip then, amen. We don't care, amen. When we get there, but so he said, heat that furnace up, and he commanded the most mighty men. Now it doesn't say how many mighty men there were. It could have been three of his mighty men. It could have been eight or ten of his mighty men. I don't know. David had 33 mighty men, three that were with him all the time, and then another 30 that were listed, including, you know who else was listed in that group of David's mighty men? Uriah the Hittite was listed in that group, the one that David had killed because David had a relationship with his wife. You know, so here, you boy, what a sad story that was, amen. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were tied up, man. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I get it, man. Can you imagine that? These men who were casting them in get burned up by this fire because the fire, that furnace is so hot right now. I don't know. Listen, if the furnace wasn't hot enough, they would have burned up anyway because God was in control. Amen. You know why that they burned up? You know why? Ask me why. Oh, I'm dying to tell you, man. Let me tell you. two thoughts I got on this. And the second thought is probably the more correct. But the first thought is this. You never put your hands on a man of God. You just don't do it. And you never put your mouth on a man of God. That means zip the lip. Amen. Don't spread rumors. Don't. I believe that's true. Amen. I believe that's biblical. But probably the real reason was because in a few minutes, these three are going to walk out of that furnace. Nobody could come to Nebuchadnezzar and say, it wasn't hot enough. You know? It wasn't hot enough. Well, I tell you what. Look what happens. It says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, but the form of the fourth is like the sun, capital S-O-N, of capital G-O-D. The King James Bible, by the way, has it correct, amen. It's right, and it's always been right, and it'll continue to be right. The Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know there was one that looked like the Son of God? Because God impressed in his mind. He'd heard about God. These people were looking forward to the Savior coming one day, and God impressed on him, this is going to save the world. Boy, I tell you, this is a type of salvation. He brought them out of that eternal fire. Brought them out of that fire where they're going to get burned up. Takes us out of the eternal fire. Saved them from that moment. Saves us from eternal damnation. Saves us from sin. Boy, I tell you, what a God we have. And Nebuchadnezzar recognized that is the Son of God in there. And boy, I tell you what, more people need to recognize that the Son of God is in control. And the Son of God died for their sin to save them. Amen. Boy, I tell you. So here, not only did they stand up, but they stood out in the midst of a fire, in the midst of a horrific time, in the midst of the midnight, amen, if you would, in the midst of some difficulties, in the midst of going to be murdered because they did not bow the knee to some ungodly, wicked image. And now, God spares them because they did what was right. They weren't worried about dying. God will, whatever God does, well, you know, he took us out of your hand, O king. You ain't got no control. Look what God did. God brought them out. Got to tell you this. God will bring you through some things that you never thought you could go through. Amen? You never thought you could handle it. Never thought you could go through it. God will bring you some things you never thought you could go through. Why? Because He's God. He's God. And God is good to you and God is good to me. We need to stand out. We need to stand out. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. We're not far from being done. Well, I say that, but that's not always true, amen. That doesn't mean I'm going to quit. So, yeah, Hebrews chapter 13. Look at this with me. Over in Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look down to verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But, alright, now listen. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. We need to stand out with our lips of praise to the Lord. We ought not to be afraid to talk about Jesus. Amen. This year when I was in the hospital, Pastor, down in Florida, and I was coming down with heart failure, congestive heart failure, and I wasn't doing good. Then I got pneumonia on top of that. And the doctor came in and said, one is not synonymous with the other. I just want you to know that. You were getting this, and then you got this. And boy, I was sick. Man, I was sick. I get pneumonia. Two out of the last three times I've flown, I've gotten pneumonia when I got off the plane. Two out of the last three times. I got to fly here this month. I said I'm never going to fly again, but I got to fly because I can't get out there any other way but fly and make it in time, you know, for this next meeting in 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks I have out there. So I have but when I was in the hospital down there, every nurse and every doctor that came in my room heard the gospel. Heard my testimony, heard the gospel. I talked to them about Jesus, and they would try to talk to me, and I wanted to get it in, man. I'd give them the gospel before I let them finish talking, amen. And I just, you know, and so the nurse was going to take my blood pressure, I'm going to move my arm so I keep it there just a little bit longer, you know. Man, that hurts, you know. I wasn't that bad, but I could have been if I had to be. Amen. But everyone that came in there got the gospel. And I had, I don't know how many. I had sometimes four or five different nurses a day because of how they were running the hospital at that time, right at the beginning of COVID. They tested me for COVID. Never had COVID at all. So the first nurse I had come in to the room was a born-again believer. She was a Baptist. In fact, probably over half of my nurses and doctors that came in were believers, were Christians. It was a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, but they were all Seventh-day Adventists. You know, they had Seventh-day Adventists, they had Baptists, they had you know, some Bible, they had all kinds of Pentecostals, man. I had a Pentecostal lady, when I told her in my testimony, she started dancing in the in the room before she walked out of the room. Cracked me up, man. I said, hallelujah, amen. Keep it up, sister. I didn't want that, amen. She was a character. She was a character. I mean, a lot of fun, but she was a character. So this nurse I had, the first nurse I came in, told me she went to an independent Baptist church. She was saved, you know, and she said, I gave her a tract, talked to her about the gospel. So I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And she said, do you have any more of those tracts? So I gave her a stack of them, you know. And I said, what are you going to do with those? Are you going to hand them out? She said, I'm going to put them out on the nurse's station. They need to see this. They need to hear this. They need to read this. They need this, you know. So she took all my tracts, put them out there. Every nurse that came in there and every doctor got witness to it. Friday, she comes back. I get up the next day. I was in there 8 days. I get up the next day. But Friday, when she came back into my room, that's the first time I saw her since the Friday before. She comes into my room and she says, you know what? She says, at the nurse's station, they told me, you don't want to go into his room. And she says, why not? And they said, all he's going to do is talk to you about Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, what a thing to be known for, amen. And then she says, I looked at them and said, well, what's wrong with that? Amen. You know, God's good, isn't he? We ought to stand out with praise to God with our lips and not be afraid to talk to people about the Lord. Amen. We ought not to be afraid. We ought to tell everybody. When I got saved in prison, I went the next day, Pastor, and I told everybody in that, prison I was transferring to another one. I was inside a area of the prison where there was only 110 of us. There were about 4,000 men in the prison. But we were transferring to another program because I was going to escape from it. But I got saved before I got there. Amen. That was my plan. And so I was transferring. And I went and I told every one of those men, 110 prisoners in there, that I got saved. I never had one man laugh at me. Never had one man make fun of me. Not at all. Why would I be afraid of what the world's going to think if a convict ain't going to laugh at me, amen? Some hardened criminals ain't going to laugh at me. Now, if I wasn't saved and they told me that, I might laugh at them. You know, I don't know. I'm a pretty rough brother, amen? But I never had one. One time I was in New York. You know, I was in, let me think about this. I was down in Virginia. Massanutten Mountain Range, and we were in a camper with a pastor friend of ours. We took a vacation together, his family and our family, and we're in this campground, and you can hear him, brother. You can hear him coming down. Man, I tell you, coming down that valley in the Shenandoah Valley, coming up into the Massanutten Mountain Range. Whoa! You hit. They were Harleys. You know, I knew they were Harleys. Man, my heart boxed. I hope they pull in. I hope they pull in. I hope they pull. I want to see him. I want to see him. I want to see him. And all of a sudden, here come about 10 to 15 on their Harleys, Hell's Angels. Come up in there, big old bike. You know, some of them got the vape hanger bars. I never could hang on to them. I like the bars that are down here where I can hang. I feel like I'm doing something, you know. I laid a couple of bikes. I laid a Harley down one time, but you know, I like them where I get a hold of them. And they come into that campground. I run into my trailer real fast, and I grab a handful of tracks. The preacher I'm with, a good friend of mine, I just buried him this year. He died, and so I went to his funeral for him. Then I got pneumonia after I got back from that plane ride. Amen. he saw me with the tracks. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go over and talk to them guys about the gospel. Give them a track. Amen. And he said, you're crazy. They could kill you. I said, preacher, I said, listen. I said, brother, no offense. I said, you shave that beard off, they don't look any younger than I do. Amen. They ain't no different than me, you know. They're just people, hallelujah. And And, you know, well, I tell you what, we just need to stand out and not be afraid to talk about Jesus, amen. I realize you can't do that in some of your workplaces, amen. Try it at school, Dave. Just start stand up in your desk and start preaching, see what's going to happen. You ain't going to have that job very long, amen. It don't happen that way, does it? You know, but we need to be a testimony, not be afraid to talk when we can talk, not be afraid to give it. We need to be a testimony in our life. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, he says in Luke or Mark. And we need to be a testimony with our life. Our life should be an outstanding testimony of Jesus Christ. We need to stand up. We need to stand out in our praise of God and giving thanks to him. We need to stand out in our love and in our life. We need to, by the way, he said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I'll finish with this. Listen to this. And I saw the dead, small and great, and small and great, stand before God. One day you will stand, small and great. You will stand before God. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will stand before God. And if you're not born again, saved by the very grace of God, you'll be cast off into the lake of fire, the book of Revelation says, which is the second death. You're going to get people who go to hell. Can you imagine this? People in hell, Pastor, at the great white throne, they're going to come out of hell. They're going to stand before a holy God. I call that a respite from hell. I don't know how long it's going to last, but they're going to stand before God. They're going to see everything they rejected, everything they've ever denied. They're going to see it. They're going to see the beauty of heaven. Whew. They're going to see it. Amen. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be cast off into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever, the second death. How sad that people would reject a loving Savior. I rejected God for years. I'm glad, just like you, Dalton, I'm glad when I got saved, amen. And I ain't been the same since, and I don't want to be the same since. The worst day, if there's such a thing, is a worst day of salvation since I've been saved. If there's such a thing as a bad day, we've all had rough days, amen. But I'm talking about, I mean, you know, I can't even think of a terrible day since I've been saved. I can't think, I mean, we've lost family members. My brother-in-law was shot to death by his wife. He was a deacon of a Baptist church. And my grandson, 3.5 years, died from a seizure in his sleep. I mean, if those are bad days, they're nothing compared. That's still better than the best day I had before I was ever saved. Amen. The worst day after salvation is better than the best day before I was born again. There's nothing to go back to. Amen. Let's stand up. Let's stand fast. And let's stand out in our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to praise the Lord tonight for what he's done, for salvation this morning, and then for how he has worked in our hearts. Two questions tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You know, I always ask the first question, and what's that? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? If you are not sure of your salvation, not sure you've ever been born again, not sure that you've ever trusted Christ in a personal way, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray. Anybody tonight with enough raised hands, say, Mike, that's me. I'm not sure. Not sure. Want to be, but I'm not. I don't see any hands. Praise the Lord. Second question is this. Brother Mike, would you just pray for me? Pray for me. Somewhere, I believe, the Lord spoke to you with this message. Just pray for me that I would stand up and stand fast or stand out. But listen to me. You'll never stand out if you don't stand up and stand fast. You have to stand up first. Pray for me. Anybody else like that tonight? Just pray for me. God bless you. Amen. I'll do something about it. I'll pray for you. I really will. I'll pray for you. Just pray for me like that, that I'll stand up, stand fast, and stand out in my Christian life. How about it? Anybody else? All right. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the privilege we've had to be here tonight, Lord, and the privilege we've had to partake of your word, Father, and proclaim it, but to listen to it, Father. I pray that you have your will accomplished now, Father. And Lord, I didn't see any hands about salvation, but if there's anybody, please, Father, work on that heart in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor.
Go.
wants to gun your heart during invitation. That's a music plays. Let's just see God's face for a few minutes during invitation. Message, my brother. Appreciate again the thought. Stand up. Stand fast. God will help you stand out. Appreciate that. And let me say a couple things again. I mentioned some things about masks, and I don't mind defiance on masks again. But, you know, that's not one of those things that you're going to die over. And so I encourage you, just take some of the things even we heard here tonight. That there's stuff going on in our country right now that we need to be wise as Christians. We need to understand what's going on. And again, they say, choose your sword, where you're going to fall on again. And we heard that in that message here again, that there's certain things that we will stand on, period, no matter what. But again, don't fall on your sword over a mask again. I don't mind defiance. I'm defiant about it. But again, use every opportunity you can to stand out, not as a defiant one, but that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Use every opportunity we can. Again, in this year especially, there's ample opportunities given to us to be a testimony of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just be aware of that. A couple things again, too, as we get defiant about some of these things, is recognize that the world, Don Lemon, if you ever heard of him, he again says that you're COVID deniers. Don't be a COVID denier. COVID is real. COVID-19 stands for coronavirus disease, and it's 19 because it came out in 2019. And so... It is a pandemic. It does kill people. It is real. And they're often right now trying to paint Christians as COVID deniers. We're not COVID deniers. But we do recognize that there's politics going on in this thing that causes, again, everything is skewed again. And so, make a point. Again, stand out. And even during this virus and all the things that's going on, stand out, but make sure you're standing out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And make sure His name gets named, and even in your defiance again. And be aware that the tactics that's going on in America for this, some of these things are strong. It's powerful. I mean, the ability to overthrow our government is embedded deep in the media, deep in our colleges. And right now, again, it's my understanding of how the election went in 2016. 50% of our nation is in favor of some form of socialism, even Marxism again. And so we're in a battle here again. And so as we step into this year, we live in exciting times, praise the Lord. And don't let a good crisis go to waste, as it's been said. Use it to lift up the name of your Lord and Savior. So praise the Lord. Appreciate that. And that we can stand up. I love that old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What'd you call them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Radio Shack. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll go ahead and dismiss. Boy, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. Let's have a couple testimonies just where we leave. When you got saved. I think we got a testimony. Yes, Jackie. All right, praise the Lord. 1997, that's a few years ago. Yes, Dave.
1986.
All right, way back in the 1900s. Hallelujah. Somebody else. Yes, Beverly.
Towards the end of June, 1967.
All right, 1967. That's right after I first met her. Hallelujah. We married, what, 4 years later? Hallelujah. All right. Someone else.
I got saved. I can't remember the month. I had it written in my old Bible, but it was in 1990.
Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. So I know I got saved in the fall. I don't know the date, but I know the fall, and I know I was 8 years old, 1960 again. And when I got saved, the only thing I remember about the date was we're having a revival, fall revival services, and Ford's Pond was so cold just before ice set in that they couldn't baptize us. Me and my sister both got saved. We couldn't get baptized till the next spring when Ford's Pond thawed out, praise the Lord. So I remember that date. I remember the baptismal service as well, all those months later. And we didn't have to go to classes, but praise the Lord. We did have to wait quite a while until the ice was gone. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. Let's sing this song together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord bless you. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. Plan on being here again, and pray for our revival services. Lord bless you.